Welcome to Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio with author, speaker, and your host, Pat Rulo, serving you a generous helping of everything you need to know to help you and your loved ones stay safe during any doctor or hospital visit. The program is not intended to replace medical advice from a licensed professional, but rather to encourage you to become a well-informed participant in your health and well-being. And now, your host, Pat Rulo.
Hello and welcome. I'm Pat Rulo, the voice for patient safety, where each week we delve into little-known healthcare and hospital hazards, as well as other fringe topics that affect your health and well-being. I'm so happy you've taken the time to join me, and today I have lots to share with you. So, let's dig right in, shall we? Well, last week I introduced you to a guest, Jean Monterostelli, who talked about a simple and safe way to help with physical pain, as well as any emotional pain you may be carrying around with you. It's called EFT tapping, and it stands for Emotional Freedom Technique. The basic technique requires you to focus on the negative emotion at hand, whether it be a fear or anxiety, a bad memory, an unresolved problem. It could also be a physical pain as well, anything that's bothering you. So while you maintain your mental focus on this issue, you could actually say the words out loud. I'd like to relieve the pain in my neck, or I'd like to become better friends with my sister, whatever the problem is, you could either say those words out loud, which often helps, or you can just think about it in your mind. But then you use your fingertips to tap 5 to 7 times on a few of the body's meridian points. Now, tapping on these meridian points while concentrating on accepting and resolving the negative motion or the pain helps to access your body's energy, restoring it to a balanced state. And no, this is not some weird New Age voodoo. This concept comes from the doctrines of traditional Chinese medicine, which referred to the body's energy as qi. We've all heard of the word qi. And in ancient times, the Chinese discovered over 100 meridian points. And they also discovered that by stimulating these certain points, that they could heal. So in some ways, tapping is similar to acupuncture in that it achieves healing through stimulating the body's meridian and energy flow. However, unlike tapping, acupuncture involves needles. And no needles is definitely one of the advantages of tapping. Another advantage is that it could be learned by anyone, and you can apply it to yourself whenever you want, wherever you are. And during my conversation with Jean, it occurred to me to ask about tapping and pets, because I have some cats and I was wondering about doing some healing work with them. So today I'm going to share just a short bit of that with you, because anything we can do to take charge of our own lives and the lives of our pets without side effects and huge medical bills is surely worth knowing about. Now, I'm not saying to substitute this for any kind of medical advice from a qualified physician. However, it is something simple, painless, easy, no side effects that you can try on your own. So that will be coming up in a bit. But before we get there, I'm going to share a few food industry secrets with you. We talk about being the voice for informed choice and how we need to speak up. Well, we can often speak up without saying a word, and that is through our buying habits. So enjoy the next few minutes of food weirdness with me. Now, here's a tongue tricker for you. Yes, I said a tongue tricker. A company named Sonomics is using genetic technology to develop chemicals that directly interfere with your tongue's taste receptors. And then they add these chemicals to certain foods without listing them as ingredients. This biotech company, Sonomics, is exploiting regulatory loopholes to add untested new additives to your food in collaboration with Kraft, Campbell Soup, Pepsi, and other food giants. The company claims to have reverse engineered the human gene and is now adding artificial flavors to our food supply that directly block or activate the taste receptors on your tongue. This allows companies to trumpet their products as low salt or low sugar without changing the flavor, because now your tongue is tricked to think that it tastes less salty or less sugary. How evil is that? So why is Sonomics allowed to use genetic technology without warning consumers? Well, they can easily gain FDA approval under antiquated food safety laws designed before the biotech age. And indeed, these biotech additives don't even need to be listed as anything but artificial flavor. Not surprising, both Sonomics and its food industry partners are being secretive about which foods contain these ingredients. So how can you defend yourself against being a guinea pig in a giant genetic experiment? Well, I guess you can only buy foods with no additives whatsoever. I mean, can you believe this? A company that is actually allowed to tinker with your tongue? Unreal. Here's another one. I know of a rather intelligent man who drinks Mountain Dew for breakfast, in addition to lunch, dinner, and in between. One sip of it sends me to the sink to spit it out. But here's a more important reason to think before you drink. Citrus-flavored sodas and sports drinks are made with a toxic chemical, brominated vegetable oil, that's been banned in more than 100 countries. Citrus-flavored beverages in the United States and Canada from sodas such as Squirt, haven't even seen that in a while, and Mountain Dew to sports drinks such as Gatorade are made with an additive called brominated vegetable oil that has been banned, as I said, as toxic in more than 100 countries. And no wonder, because bromine is deadly in its pure liquid or gaseous forms, and smaller quantities can build up in the fat cells of the body to produce cancer and thyroid dysfunction over time. In spite of the FDA's assurances that brominated vegetable oil is used only in minute quantities, cases of acute bromine poisoning have been documented in people who consume large quantities of soda on a daily basis. So this suggests that even lower consumption levels might pose a risk of more subtle effects such as cancer. So why do soda companies use this toxic additive? Well, since citrus flavorings have such a different density than sugar water, citrus-flavored drinks would be cloudy and visually unappealing without some additive that binds the two components of the drink together. And bromine fills that function admirably, but at a heavy cost. Notice we've got the FDA as a culprit on both of these two food weirdness topics. Now, for all of you French fry eaters, and maybe vegetarians, McDonald's French fries contain a chemical flavoring agent synthesized in a laboratory. The third listed ingredient in McDonald's French fries is natural beef flavor. Now, at first glance, that might not sound so bad, I guess, unless you're a vegetarian. But if you look closer, you'll see a note that the flavor is made with both wheat and dairy derivatives. Wheat and dairy in a flavor presumably derived from beef? That's weird. That's because natural flavors are anything but natural. The only difference between natural flavors and artificial flavors is that artificial flavors are completely synthesized in a lab, while natural flavors are intensively extracted from food products. In other words, the exact same chemical may be classified as natural or artificial, depending on the techniques used by the lab that made it. In this case, the toxic food derivatives, hydrolyzed wheat and hydrolyzed soy, are used as a base for a natural chemical that gives McDonald's fries their flavor. Now, originally, McDonald's cooked its French fries in beef tallow, but the company abandoned this practice in 1990 due to growing health concerns from consumers. But to preserve the characteristic taste of one of its most profitable products, McDonald's turned to chemicals. Of course they did. And here's a gross one. The casings of most sausages and hot dogs are made out of dissolved, homogenized cow hides that are then extruded into a solid tube. Ugh. Originally, sausages were made by stuffing an animal's pureed internal organs into its own intestines. As sausages shifted from locally made to a mass-produced industrial product, it became impossible to make all sausages with traditional intestine casings. Some sausages are now stuffed into inedible synthetic casings, but for consumers preferring a more natural-seeming food, an alternative edible casing was needed. Enter collagen, the primary protein that makes up connective tissue in the bodies of humans and other animals. So to make collagen sausage casings, the hides of slaughtered cows are set aside and have their hair removed. The hide is then chopped up and mixed with water, lactic acid, cellulose fiber until it swells into a slurry. Ugh, don't know that I want to eat anything with the word slurry. A vacuum removes air from the slurry, which is then homogenized, revacuumed, and pressed into a thin, flat shape. This casing is then coagulated, another great word, with salt, plasticized, another great word, with glycerin, and dried until it is kneaded. Oh, good grief. And here's one I never considered. The soy sauce packets that you get at most Chinese restaurants, you know, the little packets that you could take home for takeout, well, they're actually a toxic chemical imitation, also marketed as liquid amino acid. Asian cultures have traditionally fermented soy before eating it to make it easier on the body, and soy sauce is no exception. Fermentation takes from 3 to 6 months. However, so impatient industrial food producers have developed an alternative product, disparagingly called chemical soy sauce by food aficionados. Rather than soybeans, the product is based on hydrolyzed soy protein, a form of monosodium glutamate, derived from soybeans defatted using the toxic chemical hexane. The soy protein is then chemically processed to increase the concentration of the amino acid glutamate, which gives soy sauce its characteristic savoriness. Finally, flavoring chemicals are added to round out the taste. The whole process only takes 3 days, but speed comes at a cost. The final product is nothing but glorified monosodium glutamate and contains carcinogens not found in real soy sauce. Chemical soy sauce is most commonly found, as I said, in those little packets given out for free by restaurants. So much for that. Now, I have thrown out my microwave ovens a long time ago, but in case you haven't heard my previous programs that sound the warning, here's another reason to repurpose your microwave into a bookshelf or maybe a fish tank. Microwave popcorn gives off a toxic, lung-damaging gas when cooked. You might be reassured to learn that the buttery flavor in microwave popcorn typically comes from a chemical actually found in butter, but you shouldn't be. This chemical called diacetyl is so toxic that it commonly destroys the lungs of workers in microwave popcorn facilities, afflicting them with the crippling and irreversible disease known as bronchiolitis obliterans. It's so rare outside of this context that it has become commonly known as popcorn lung. Regulators and health professionals have known of this risk for decades, but always assumed that it would only affect the people breathing in especially high concentrations in factory settings. Then, in 2007, a man who regularly ate 2 bags of microwave popcorn every day was diagnosed with popcorn lung, proving that diacetyl enters the air and lungs when microwave popcorn is cooked. Anxious to reassure his consumers, most microwave popcorn companies phased out diacetyl, only to replace it with chemicals that have the exact same effects. Nah, it's really not much more time-consuming to buy organic popcorn, add a little oil or butter to a pot, and pop your own. Here's a question. Would you knowingly feed your children an ingredient derived from coal tar? Well, that's exactly what you may be doing if you're letting them eat any orange or yellow artificially colored products, including sodas, as I mentioned, Mountain Dew, cheese-flavored products, Kraft Dinner, although I think they now have some that are free from this fake color, flavored chips such as Doritos, pickles, or any myriad of other foods and beverages. Many processed foods are made with a derivative of coal tar that has been linked to hyperactivity in children. The industrial waste-derived coloring called tartrazine is a common ingredient in all these foods, underscoring once again the need to read food labels religiously. And anyway, why would anyone put artificial colors into pickles? Ugh. Tartrazine, also known as E102, or I'm sure you've seen this on food labels if you read them, Yellow 5, was one of the colorings linked to childhood hyperactivity in a landmark 2007 study conducted by the United Kingdom's Food Standards Agency. As a consequence, products containing it must carry a warning label anywhere in the European Union. The United States, however, has no such law, even though the coloring has been linked to asthma, migraines, and cancer. And I say, gotta love the FDA. Well, here's my conclusion, taken from a friend of mine named Hesh Goldstein, a former radio host on our speakuptalkradio.com website, and now he's a writer for Natural News. He says, like everything else in life, eating is a matter of consciously making wise choices. It is something everyone must do to keep their body healthy and alive, which is the practical purpose for eating. Unfortunately for many, the purpose of eating has become centered around satisfying the tastes the tongue has become addicted to. Allowing the tongue's addiction for the taste has resulted in what a United States Senate report called a wave of malnutrition sweeping the country. Awareness of this problem can motivate us to live more consciously and thus turn a negative into a positive. Rather than live as consumer zombies, ultimately controlled by advertising campaigns, being dragged here and there as slaves to our tongues and other senses, we should take our lives into our own hands, beginning at home with the basics. A natural starting point is to choose not to continue as blind food faddists, eating newly developed non-foods that are chemically flavored and preserved, or that contain empty calories, refined flour and sugar products, or that are loaded with saturated fat, cholesterol, monosodium glutamate, and others. Most of these foods have become popular in a relatively short period of time. So instead, choose the kinds of healthful, wholesome foods that our ancestors thrived on, like whole grains, beans, nuts, and seeds, fresh produce. Such apparently small, insignificant choices as these benefit not only each individual, but all of society as well. Unfortunately, the revaluation of the purpose of food and its fair distribution probably will not come from the people who are presently making these unhealthy profits on taste addictions. They justify their food scamming as simply supplying the demand, even though this demand was created by their multi-million-dollar advertising campaigns in the first place. This sort of reasoning places the responsibility squarely on the people who have the most to gain from being supplied with more healthful products, and that is you and me. The fact is, in the marketplace of supply and demand, as long as the product is being bought, that guarantees it will continue to be manufactured and marketed. But this also means that we have a choice to say yes or no. And we can say no by refraining from buying non-nutritious, non-quality plastic fad food and say yes to buying wholesome, natural foods. In this sense, every time you buy or do not buy a product, you are registering to vote in the marketplace of supply and demand. So this week, while companies are tinkering with our tongues, let's vote with our wallets. It's finally one way you can actually speak up without saying a word.
Tired of the same old presentations?
Can you forward to slide 38, please?
Are you looking for a new, out-of-the-box topic for your next event?
Want your group to leave inspired, informed, and satisfied?
No PowerPoint presentations and dim lights here. No snoring or snoozing goes on during Pat's presentations. To help your entire group, organization, business, or church stay safe during any healthcare or hospital experience, invite Pat to speak. Pick a topic from her website or request your own. Visit her website, speakupandstayalive.com, or call Pat to discuss how she can make your next event fun, enlightening, and life-saving.
Want testimonials?
Go to the bulletin board link at the website for color pictures and comments from real people. Again, it's speakupandstayalive.com or call 440-725-5462. That's 440-725-5462.
And now, let's spend the next 2 minutes with two of my friends who know how to speak up. They have something to say to improve your day. If you love pets, then you simply must listen to my friend Susan Marie and her wonderful radio show called The Doggy Diva Show, heard each week on speakuptalkradio.com. That's right, each week The Doggy Diva Show focuses on topics that matter most to all pet owners. Within the 60-minute format, Susan shares information and news of importance within the animal community while spotlighting the pet tip of the week to keep you informed about important health issues that affect your four-legged friends. Visit doggydiva.com. And now here's Susan.
This is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. Please join my canine co-host, the Doggy Diva herself, Miss Olive, and I as we bring the experts in the pet and animal world right to you each week on Speak Up Talk Radio, or please visit us at our website at thedoggydiva.com. Have a great Diva Week, everyone.
Next, I have a very lovely friend, Veronica Entwistle, who hosts a podcast on speakuptalkradio.com. Veronica is gifted with the conscious presence of guides and intuition and healing energy. And for many years, she has helped people find out their truth of being through her workshops and her private telephone readings. Let her do one for you. Visit veronicaentwistle.com or call her at 510-595-5564. That's 510-595-5564. Take a listen.
Hello, I'm Veronica Entwistle, host of Paradigm Shifters, sharing the thought processes of more than 200 amazing creators. Tune in and explore the revolutionary and evolutionary minds of inventors, leaders, magicians, artists of all sorts launching ventures and courageously pushing through limitations in human possibility. Listen to me on Speak Up Talk Radio, iTunes, and my site, veronicaentwistle.com.
The pharmaceutical industry is wreaking havoc on our health. Drugs promoted on TV and magazines. Drugs, drugs, drugs. I'm Pat Rulo, radio host of Speak Up and Stay Alive Patient Safety Radio, with a new line of essential oils called Tiny Drops. Essential oils are powerful and concentrated plant essences, and just one tiny drop can have noticeable health benefits. No pills and no nasty side effects. Take charge of your health. Tiny Drops, big results. Visit tinydropseo.com. Well, we're back. I am Pat Rulo, your hostess, and as I mentioned at the top of the show, I have my guest, Gene Montarastelli, back with us again. He is the host of the podcast called Tapping Q&A, question and answer, Tapping Q&A, that can be found at the website speakuptalkradio.com. And each week he's got a brand new episode, so I'm hoping that you tune into that. But again, he's back today for a few moments. I wanted to talk with him about tapping and pets. So welcome back, Gene.
Thanks, Pat. I appreciate it.
So as a little refresher, again, what is tapping?
Tapping uses the meridian system. And so I guess the easiest way to explain it to people who don't have experience with it is it's kind of like acupuncture, but instead of using needles, you're just tapping on the points that acupuncture needles would go into. And since you are tapping on those points, it is something that's very easy to self-apply. And so it takes this amazing system in the body that allows us to do transformation, and it gives people access to use that to create transformation right at their fingertips wherever they are. The types of things that tapping fall into typically fall into two categories. One is for physical issues and one is for emotional issues. The basic tapping points are, and when we tap, we're tapping with two or three fingertips. We're tapping as hard as tapping on someone's shoulder to get their attention. So the tapping points that I normally use, because again, we're using this meridian system that has over 250 tapping points, we just use a really small subset of that. The first one is the tippy top of the head. Your brain is under there. Be careful when you're tapping there. The second tapping point is the inside of the eyebrow. So it's basically following your eyebrow all the way to the bridge of your nose without falling down on the bridge of the nose. The third tapping point is the side of the eye, and basically, if you were wearing glasses and you followed your glasses from your ear to the eye, it's right on the edge of the eye socket. The fourth spot is under the eye, which is directly below the pupil on your cheekbone. You have a sinus cavity under there. Under the nose is directly below the nose and above the upper lip. Chin is not your chin bone, but it's between the point of your chin and your lower lip. It's kind of above that ridge. With the collarbone, there's a spot that's underneath the collarbone. I typically just take a flat hand and just tap on the top of my chest because I get the spot because there's no penalty for not. And then the last spot that I use is under the arm. It's under your armpit. If you are wearing a bra, it's about bra height. If you poke around in there, there's a tender spot. And that's enough points for you to get started. And so basically, when you're working on something, you would just tap 5 to 7 times on a point, and then you move on to the next one. 5 to 7 times, you move on to the next one.
Okay, so as you're tapping, then you're thinking about the area of pain, or you're thinking about the emotional thought that you want to change as you're doing this?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So much to know and so many questions I have. Here's one for you. I was thinking of this the other day. I have 11 rescue cats, but I have one, actually I have two, but one in particular that has this nasopharyngeal polyp that we had removed, and it seems like it's coming back. And I was wondering about the idea of tapping for her, either on her, or could I do that myself with a thought toward her? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so two of the most downloaded episodes in the podcast archives are interviews with my friend Suzanne Peach, who lives in Boulder, Colorado, and she has a tapping practice that is exclusively focused on animals. That is the sum total of her work. And so just for people who, it's wacky, it feels unbelievable that I could circly tap on my body for my animal. So let's pretend for a moment that me tapping on my body for my cat does absolutely nothing for my animal. Let's assume that's the case, because that seems like a reasonable response. At worst, I am going to spend 7 minutes tapping on myself, thinking really loving thoughts about my animal, and I think that's a great thing, and only good can come from that. So at a baseline, that is the worst that we're going to get, me thinking loving thoughts about my animal. Now, the next level up, I am sure, because you love your animals and how integral they are into your life, there is some anxiety that you feel because your animal is going through a health issue. So that means when you approach that particular animal or any of the animals, that you're showing up with a little anxiety, and we know the animals that we're close to, how sensitive they are to our emotional state. So if you take 7 minutes, you're thinking things about the animal, you're tapping on it, what you're doing is you're taking your fear about their health, and now it's much more proportional, which probably means you're showing up with less anxiety. So now, when you interact with the animals, you're bringing less anxiety, which immediately means the quality of their life improves just a little bit, because they're not responding to their people and their people's emotional needs, because our animals do that. Mm-hmm. So now, one step up, we're in a circumstance, quality of life for the animal is better. I can say I've seen lots of experiences where there has been transformation for animals when people are surrogately tapping on themselves. All of the work that I do with autism, I'm teaching parents how to surrogately tap for their children, and there is physical and emotional transformation in their children. Tapping for our animals is no different.
Wow, that's very, very interesting. Could you actually do the tapping on those meridian points on the animal if they allowed you to?
Certainly, totally. And if you're looking where to find them, if you have dogs, cats, and horses, you can search online and you will find acupuncture charts for dogs, cats, and horses. If you have a quadruped of some sort that isn't one of those four, the spots are going to be basically in the exact same spot. I have a friend of mine who is an acupuncturist who works with animals, and he was working with the National Park Service, and they had this really sick bear, and he ended up doing acupuncture on this bear, and basically was using the same spots he would have been using if it was a cat, because the structure of the body is very, very similar. Mm-hmm. So you can actually just look on those charts. And the points that I described, most of them, particularly the points on the head and the collar, mm-hmm. you can find those on your animals pretty easily.
Oh, thank you for that. Thank you. I was very interested to learn about this and see if there was something I can do to help.
Yeah.
Yes. And for folks listening, there's just so much more at your website. It's tappingqna.com. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's over 750 free resources on the site.
Thank you for doing all of this work. The website is very rich in content. So it's tappingqna, all spelled out, .com. Tappingqna.com. So I'm going to encourage everyone to listen to the podcast. It's new now on the speakuptalkradio.com website, speakuptalkradio.com. But for sure, head over to your website, Jean, tappingqa.com. Wow. Thank you so much for enlightening me, and I'm sure everyone else listening today. You've just been such a pleasure. Thank you.
I really appreciate the opportunity and the invitation.
I'd like to remind you to get a copy of the book by my friend Gina Murphy Darling, who hosts Mrs. Green's World. The book is called Your Mother Called, meaning Mother Earth, You'd Better Call Her Back, where she identifies many of the incredible environmental challenges we face as a human race and offers one woman's solutions on how we can begin to live intentionally to help preserve the very planet that gives us life. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com or call Gina at 520-230-3977. That's 520-230-3977. Here she is.
Hi there, this is Mrs. Green, and I would love for you to become a part of my world. Mrs. Green's World is an engaged international community and a global movement of ideas and action made up of people who truly care about their own health and the health of this great planet of ours. In Mrs. Green's World, we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. Our guests from all over the world will give you plenty of things to think about. Please visit my website at MrsGreensWorld.com and become a part of our world.
Next, if you or someone you know is caring for someone else, then you need to read the book written by my friend, Jana Panaritis. The book is called Scattered, My Year as an Accidental Caregiver. Scattered, it sheds a much-needed light on the plight of baby boomers everywhere, eager to thrive in their own lives, but put to test by aging parents, often unprepared for what lays ahead. And you can find out more at her website. It's agewise.com, and it's spelled A-G-E-W-Y-Z. Or call Jana at 800-590-2129. That's 800-590-2129. Here she is.
Hi, I'm Jana Panaritis, host of the AgeWise podcast. Did you know that in the United States, nearly 44 million people provide unpaid care to a family member, friend, or relative? I'll bet you're one of those caregivers. On the AgeWise podcast, we celebrate your work with stories from the field. Join me as we share, and know you're not alone. Listen to a brand new episode each week at speakuptalkradio.com. To learn more about the show, visit the AgeWise website. Go to agewyz.com.
Now, I want to share a chilling story with you. This winter, our furnace died, and after calling several companies for estimates, I found BNK Heating and Cooling in North Royalton. Their rate was hundreds of dollars less than our best estimate. They came out the next day, and by noon, Bob, the cats, and I were warm and toasty again. Call my new friends at BNK Heating and Cooling, serving Cleveland, Ohio, for all of your heating and cooling needs at 216-210-2529. That's 216-210-2529. Or visit their website, bnkheating.com. Time always goes by so quickly when we're together. But the good news is, I'll be back next week. Same time, same place, but never the same information. And tune in to my additional program called Speak Up Talk Radio, heard every Sunday evening at 6 o'clock p.m. on WHK AM 1420. Until we meet again, I hope you have a healthy and a happy week. I am Pat Rulo, and I am your guide to safe and successful healthcare and hospital encounters.
Listen to Pat Rulo and Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio. Stay safe from little-known healthcare and hospital hazards. To learn more, go to speakupandstayalive.com. That's speakupandstayalive.com.